Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 125 for January 27th, 2009. 25 years and still going strong. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. And by GoToMeeting. Online meetings made easy. For a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting for your PC or Mac, visit GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. And by listeners like you. Thanks so much for your contribution. We couldn't do TWiT without it. It's time for MacBreak Weekly, the show that covers all things Macintosh, software, hardware, Steve Jobs' health. It's all here, ladies and gentlemen. You're so glad you tuned in. I know you are, because listen to this incredible cast of characters. We'll start with the folks in studio to my left, wearing the Lindsay plaid. Alex Lindsay. It looks like jammies.
Top of the morning to you.
Top of the morning to you.
Irish,
that's Irish.
It?
It's wrong. You have to say it. It's crap. It's all crap. We have many
Scottish. It's crap.
It's all crap. Well, how are you today? Good to see you.
I'm doing quite well.
Welcome. You're playing with cameras.
We got cameras. We got lenses. It's not TWiP, but we like to pretend.
Sitting across from Alex Lindsay, wearing the Azeric yellow, is Miss iJustine.
Hello.
Is that your family's color?
No, actually, at the store, the woman told me that this was mac and cheese yellow.
No. It's nuclear yellow.
It's pretty bright.
That's nuclear waste yellow. But it looks great on you.
I love it. It's
very nice. It's good to have you. And it's good for TV.
Yes.
See how she pops?
Hello.
For those of you watching at home on the video stream. On our virtual left, Andy Iannotko, the man in the hat. Hey, Andy.
Hello. This is like one of those joint sessions of Congress. You have to keep at least two guests outside of the TWiT cottage just in case there's a nuclear strike.
I'm not going to say exactly. We wouldn't want the entire TWiT army to be
I am
out.
Your Secretary of Agriculture, Leo.
Well, you know what happened to her.
No, tell us.
She's a Cylon. Yeah, actually, Andy, I'm sorry you're not here because we have mini cupcakes.
No.
Well, they look really good, too.
It's too bad I don't have a mailing address or anything, and it's impossible to, like, you know.
These will get squished.
Send those.
These will get squished, but I just.
It's better. You better. It's better off if you just keep all the delicious snacks and beverages for yourself.
They have a cream cheese frosting. They're a deep, dark, rich chocolate. And the beauty of this is you can pop
very
it.
Tasty.
You could pop it right into your mouth. It's small enough the entire cupcake. That's good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, to my virtual right. Wait a minute. That's where you were, Andy. Get out of his lap. Scott Bourne.
You know, don't bother me. I'm installing iLife 09.
You got it already?
It's in the computer. It's just restarted and you know it. No, I'm just kidding. I installed it about
give us a
half
hour. You know, that okay? It's time for a first look. He's installing it.
<That's>, I can tell it's going to be good, Leo. No, I installed it about an hour ago, and I have opened each and every app to confirm it's there. And I played a little bit with the iMovie because I was very curious to see how that was going to work. And I, unlike the first time I got the new iMovie that I didn't understand, this time I kind of understood.
Now, Justine, I'm sure when you were watching the keynote, you got all excited about iMovie.
I did because I hated 08. Like,
terrible.
I still use 06 whenever I need to shoot something or edit.
The so-called iMovie HD.
Yeah. I mean, it works great.
This looks like it has many of the features of HD kind of glommed onto the interface of 08.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited.
Did you hate the interface?
I hated the interface. And
I still hate this.
I felt like I had no idea what I was doing, even though I've used pretty much everything.
There's no timeline.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm just going to drop these random clips here and use this yellow little outline.
But
to
I think
things.
Now the new zoom in, what do they call that?
It's a zoom in for
editing.
Precision editing. Yeah.
Looks like that maybe helps a lot. Because you were just kind of guessing.
There's a separate window now that kind of is the timeline. And the secret is, you know, control clicking on things gives you access to menus that let you do stuff you think makes sense. And after a few minutes, it actually started to make sense to me. I have already determined the first bugaboo news, though. That is that iMovie 09 cannot import the very high HD quality 5D Mark II videos.
I guess I'm not surprised. It's 1080p.
Not yet.
Final Cut yet. Will do it, though, right?
It well, says, I mean, I think that now when you bring it in, well, we'll test it.
It's well. This is an Apple alert. Apple says you cannot.
Oh,
okay.
Apple says to resolve this issue, import footage from your Canon 5D Mark II in large format, 960 by 540 instead of full format.
Well, that's what we were doing with like the SD, the 1080i cameras, the HV30, the HV20, the SD5. But that was because they were 1080i. Wouldn't you want to have it as a 1080p image?
I mean, if you can get a 1080p, but the thing that people need to realize is that if you're not going to display that image on something larger than a 37-inch monitor, you're not going to be able to see the difference between 960 and 1080.
I can upload to SmugMug, for instance. They've enabled 1080p uploading, so I can upload the full-size QuickTime if I can edit it. And then what I was doing is using QuickTime to edit it, cut and paste kind of editing. You know?
Right, right. You know, so you can still do that. The as I said, it's one of those things that we used to produce, and we may still, just because we want to keep the pipe working, we used to produce 1080p MacBreaks. And we just realized
that was just nuts. You know, was that just crazy? He's insane.
Well, it forced us to build a pipeline that's been very good to us since then. But it was a little insane. We now produce everything at, you know, everything's coming out at 960 by 540. It's perfect. You know, it's perfect half.
That's what I've been doing, and it's really great for
it looks gorgeous.
The SD5 or the HV30 or the HV20.
So that 960 by 540 gets the official Alex Lindsay approval?
Yeah. I think for general purpose,
and
absolutely.
I think it looks really good. It's easy to edit. What do you, Justine, what do you shoot in? How do you edit?
Since YouTube announced their new HD.
Right.
And I mean, I don't like to edit in HD because I end up just using my laptop and I just have like a small drive.
No, you have traveling. The latest MacBook Pro, so it's not like you have a slow laptop.
No, I don't. I mean, it works well, but I mean, a lot of the stuff I just use my eyesight. And then
kidding.
And then I kind of cheat and I export it out to make it look like it's HD so that YouTube reads it as HD. So, I mean, it works pretty well.
But it's as good as...
It looks really good.
It looks great. You fooled me.
It really does.
You totally fooled me.
And the new YouTube HD, my calculation is, I believe it's something like 850 by 480 or something like that.
Nothing's really HD in Flash, right? I mean...
Well, that's what it looks like, the resolution that they're bringing it down to. But they require you to bring it in at 1280 by 720, which I'm guessing is so that they have future...
You know, oh, they may be saving it that big.
Yeah, but I think that what we're seeing on the screen when we download HD stuff is something in the 850.
It looks really good, though. Yeah. I was quite impressed.
Andy, did you get 09 yet?
Not yet. Believe it or not, I just dashed. There's a Santa Mel, my FedEx driver, rang the doorbell about 10 minutes ago. And so I leapt from the microphone so I could say, yes, look, Just like we can do those on Flickr, you do those unboxing photo series.
I have
it. We can do like an unboxing radio series. And now there's a barcode on top of the seam, so now I'm going to take the penknife off mine. But unfortunately, now it's just the new
version. You can hear me opening the box now. And well, actually, Dane has strict instructions when the FedEx driver comes to bring, because I ordered it from Apple, and I said overnight delivery. They said it'll be here on the 27th today.
Yeah.
So we should all get it at the same time.
Is it actually in stores today as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, supposedly.
Going to be making a trip?
Yeah. In fact, I have some. It's funny because I have some Mark V and SD5 footage that I shot yesterday that I was going to use as a test case for this. So anyway, we've talked a lot about the features of iLife 09. We'll have a better review for you next week, but it should be out any minute now.
Yeah. We're going to hopefully shoot, if we can get it today, hopefully we're going to shoot a couple tests for MacBreak video.
Oh, good.
Tomorrow.
Great. And if they have it at the Apple store, then I'll have one up as well.
And you can look for her and her eyesight cam recording footage, a first look from Justine at the Apple store. You do
at
that
the
a lot.
Apple store. I do. I have a problem.
Did you drive up here?
Or did you take the bus?
I took the bus. I did it.
Golden Gate Transit. I'm so impressed.
Oh, it was scary.
Did it work?
No, it was great. Comfy. It was my first time.
It's a bit of a ride because that's the local. There's an express that takes an hour that's actually faster than driving because he speeds.
We'll work on that one next time.
Yeah, the express. Well, you can't get the express counter commute. Mm-hmm. You could,
but when you have the modem, then all you do is you just sit there. I just sit there and surf all the way up.
Just playing
up.
Online.
So it's like
I blogged from the bus. So that's on my blog right now.
Also new, as we sat down, I plugged in my iPhone, and lo and behold, the iPhone 221 software update. Justine, you don't have it either.
It looks like it's bug fixes and improvements. Improved general stability of Safari. Safari crashes a lot on the iPhone, doesn't it?
Mine crashes a lot.
They needed to do this. It also says fixed issue where some where some images saved from mail do not display correctly in the camera roll. Did you see that thread on the Apple discussion forums? The wife who puts up the message saying,
"Yes, I know."
Andy saw this. She puts up a message saying, "Okay, I found a naked picture of my husband on his iPhone, and it had been mailed to somebody." My husband says, "Well, yeah, I took the picture, but the iPhone sometimes does that, automatically mails them."
Yeah.
And then, of course, everybody on the discussion forum is saying, dude, no, it doesn't.
That is amazing.
So I was waiting to see it in this tech note. Maybe it would say, and stops automatic mailing of naked pictures to your girlfriend.
I read that. I think my theory is that, like, Blagojevich was going to, like, confess to everything and then thought, you know what? I would not have the biggest cojones in of any man in the world because this guy told his
wife that,
no, it just, as a matter of fact, that's not even a picture of me. It just sort of comes with the phone. As a little
it comes
tag.
With the phone. That's one of the free, you know, there's a field with daisies. There's
honey,
a bird.
Honey, I'm as mad about this as you are.
There's a naked old man. Yeah. And the naked old man, you know.
Phone compatible, products compatible with a software update. iPhone, iPhone 3G. There is an iPod Touch 2.1 as well. So,
wait a minute. Wasn't this supposed to happen right after we do the show?
Yeah. I can't believe that. What a slip.
I'm hoping that this doesn't deactivate the emoji icons because I will cry.
Justine found the greatest little tip. And thank you, Justine.
I have to thank my friend Ashot for sending me that.
So tell us how you do it.
Well, you have to download this app called Frosty Place.
It's RSS reader for Chinese.
It's like a Japanese-Chinese RSS reader for, it's just like a Macintosh news site. So you download that and then you play around with the app and that activates something.
But you have to play around a lot.
Yeah. I think you just click the bottom right button.
Because the first time nothing happened. I kept reading stories and incomprehensible stories in Chinese.
I keep getting all these emails. People are like, I want my 99 cents back. I'm like, you just play around
with
the app a little more.
Then what happens?
Then you go into the general settings and then you go into international and then to keyboards and then the Japanese setting. And
normally, there's two settings in there, the Japanese setting, but a third will appear.
Yes, a third will magically appear. It's the emoji option. Click it on, and then you just have tons of icons. I've spammed everyone in my contact list.
I got some.
You did? I know. I was like, I don't have Leo's number. I could spam him.
Oh, that's so cool. Wait, I'll give you your number. And there's some weird emojis in there.
There are some very weird ones. Some of my friends have been sending things. I'm like, I don't know what that icon is.
At first, it looks like they're not that many, but it turns out that each page has many pages.
There's a ton of pages.
There's a ton of them. There's every ethnicity.
You should see the emoji icons on that guy's iPhone that sent the nude pictures.
Oh.
Well, there's one. Okay.
Those aren't real.
There's a couple of weird ones. There's a toilet.
There's a toilet. There's a little steaming pile of
something.
Poop.
I don't. Is that what it is?
I sent it to someone. No, I don't think so. But I sent it to someone and they said, is that a burnt Dorito? I was like, I don't think that's a burnt Dorito. I was sending it to you as a little.
It's got the little lines coming
off. Yeah,
of it.
It's a little. Yeah, that's what it is.
That is so weird.
Not a Dorito.
Why do they put that in there?
I love it. That's my favorite.
You send that a lot?
You just say, I feel like, and then you just put that little emoticon in there and you're set.
There's like a little shower. It's just the weirdest.
It's very strange. Apparently, these are big in Japan. You would know because you were just there.
They're very big.
You can't sell a cell phone in Japan that doesn't support emoji because they use them in their text messages to, enhance them, just as we do smiley faces. But they're not. And they're not part of the Unicode character set. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can only see them on an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Does the iPhone that you're sending to have to be emoji enabled?
It just has to have the 2.2 firmware update. And it works. Because I think they activated that for the Japanese.
Right, because they couldn't sell it without that.
So it's pretty awesome.
It's really cool. And it works. It works. Tweety will show it in Twitter. But then people who are looking at Twitter on the web will just see boxes.
And it even shows up in your email, even like on different websites and stuff like that. Because people were leaving them in my blog comments. And it still shows up.
And it shows up?
Yeah.
Are you using a plugin for Firefox or something?
No.
Just on the phone?
Just on the iPhone. Safari. Not actually on the
site. There is a Firefox plugin, but it's a Grease Monkey script. And when I read it, it said, this breaks JavaScript on some sites. And I thought, I'm not installing that.
I'll just use my iPhone.
Well, okay, I have emojis enabled in here, and it is now updating my iPhone 2.2.1. We'll see. And you don't have to do it.
All right.
If it screws me up.
I won't.
I screw up my phone, so you don't have to. That's my job. Well, that's about it for the show. Well, thank you all for being... No.
We got a new update to the MacBook.
So what?
The new Mac, they quietly updated the MacBook last week.
You mean
yes, that's
hardware?
Right.
Hardware.
Oh, the white MacBook is now practically a MacBook Pro.
Well, it doesn't have FireWire. So it's not that I'm bitter.
It's more like the unibody 13.
Yeah, so it's you can go up to two gigs of RAM.
Mm-hmm.
They improve the video card. So it's good. I mean, it's small stuff.
Which one? 9400?
Yeah, I believe it's the 9400.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it's small stuff, but it's nice to we've been actually waiting. We had to buy a couple of them, mm-hmm. so we were very glad that we waited. Just
a lot of schools, places like that, use the white Mac, the black, you know, the plastic MacBook as a kind of an entry level MacBook. It's great for students. I think the polycarbonate case is more robust.
If you're
than
just
the
doing photos and not really much video, I mean, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah. My wife got she ended up getting a MacBook Pro only because she needed more screen real estate. But otherwise, everything she was doing.
I got the Pro because I needed the FireWire. That was very frustrating. Yeah. I had to get it just because of that one thing.
For me, RAM, and there's a lot of things. I mean, for me, it wasn't really an option because I have to actually work.
You know what I did over the week since we've met last?
What did you do? What did you do?
I was so busy. Busy, busy, busy. I got an MSI Wind, which is the little... I should have brought it. I don't know why I didn't bring it in. It's the netbook, one of the netbooks. You can get it for $329. I got the bigger battery and the bigger hard drive, 160 gig hard drive. So it was $429, very reasonable. Comes with XP, runs Windows 7, but was almost trivial to install OS 10 on it, and runs to OS 10 beautifully.
Really?
According to Boing Boing, had a great table that showed which ones, the MSI Wind and the Dell Mini, which are essentially the same hardware as the, in fact, the Advent makes one too. I think Advent makes them for them, all three of them. Run without any additional drivers or anything. And the camera works. Everything works. That's Wi-Fi great. Works. Does a camera work? Nah, maybe a camera doesn't work. External cameras work. I can't remember if the built-in camera works, but the Wi-Fi works. You have to download a new Realtek driver. So it's a little, it's the mini, it's the little...
I have to admit, I flinched. I saw the article in Wired, and I was like, oh, that would make a great Mac break video. And then I saw the cease and desist that Apple sent to Wired, and I was like, maybe not.
Come on, just say no to that.
Step away from the cliff.
Now, on what basis were they saying that the First Amendment does not apply to Wired?
They didn't sue, but Wired, I think, just got encouragement and pulled it down.
Wired decided it was prudent.
I showed on live stream, I showed the upgrade. Just kind of, and I do feel like, well, is the First Amendment protect you? And does the First Amendment protect you in this case? It's research.
As a matter of fact, I've been getting some advice on, there's something that I need to write in the future regarding downloading movies illegally. Basically, there is case to be made that if I decided to download a certain number of movies off of, you know, various illegal sites, and the recording industry came after me, I could say, no, this is research for an article that I'm writing about this, and that it would be a very difficult case to prosecute. I don't understand how, if Wired decided to pull that down, it wasn't because Apple had any legal justification for saying that they don't have a right to publish instructions on how to get an operating system running on a non-Apple piece of hardware.
On the other hand, you know, you don't want to go to court against people who buy lawyers by the bushel either.
Well, there wasn't a legal, I don't think Apple was giving a legal threat. Apple was just requesting that they take it down. And I think that the real danger typically with Apple is not when they make those kind of requests, is that if you ever want to talk to anyone here again, you'll take that down. It's not a matter of legal.
I didn't care about that so much.
What?
I didn't worry about that so much. I just didn't.
Right.
But I think that there might be a difference between saying, as I was doing research. It happened to be on camera, but I was doing research to see if it could be done. In fact, I took it off because it feels weird to have an OS 10 running on that thing.
It just seems dirty.
It's dirty.
It's dirty.
Yes, it really is.
It doesn't belong on there.
It's just like, what have I done? What have I done? Just because I could do it doesn't mean I should.
I need to go shower now.
You're one of those people who turns the lights off before, aren't you, Leo?
Yeah.
You need to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, which, by the way, it doesn't work so well on in video because it's too dark. But the process worked fine, and I think I could make a case there that it was, you know, research. But if you post a video, a how-to video... That goes into that. Now you're showing somebody how to break the law, right?
Well, part of the problem here is you've got to worry about violating Apple's right to protect, you know, trade secrets. And they not only have that right, but obligation to bring litigation if that comes to bear. And, you know, a lot of the things that we hear about Apple's legal department and people bemoaning that Apple sued somebody, I've said this before on the show, sometimes they simply have no choice. It really depends. But I understand from looking at this situation, there was no legal threat. And it could have just been, hey, would you mind taking it down? And Wired decided, yeah, probably don't mind if we take it down.
Are you shaving, Andy?
Hmm?
Nothing.
Are you using the Razor app on your iPhone? What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little nervous, and then somebody punked me while I was doing it. I got three calls from 408-996-1010, which is the as everyone knows is the main line for Apple. But I looked at it and I thought, you know, I don't ever remember getting a call from the main line. You know, if Apple calls you, it's not from the main line; it's from the and then they didn't leave a message, and I thought, okay. That's I'm being punked.
No, when Apple calls, they call from a zip code formerly assigned to the Mars spaceship.
This is Mars Phoenix. You are violating our copyright.
I would love if Apple called me.
Apple, yeah. Call Justine, would you please?
I don't even care what you say. Just something.
You mean
Hi.
You've never, like, talked to a PR person or anything
no,
from Apple? Really?
No, they're like, she's going to keep doing what she's doing for the rest of her life, so let's just let her just keep doing it.
Have you been? You've been to Cupertino, though.
I have. Yeah.
But uh-huh. But she took the bus.
I didn't. I didn't take the bus.
That's good.
Like Scarlett's arriving at Paramount Studios in 1942 with a single suitcase and a dream.
It's Schwab's drugstore all over again.
I mean, I did see Steve at that point, though, but he saw me and he ran the other way, and it was kind of disappointing.
He ran.
I mean, he literally picked up.
We weren't
his
sure
stuff.
How healthy he was, but when he saw
wait, it, wait, he saw you, picked up his did. Stuff, and ran.
Well, he sat down like he was going to eat his lunch in the Mac Cafe, and literally like looked over, saw me, and just like took all of his stuff and just.
You're making
ran.
A beeline for him, and he. Were you making a beeline?
No, I was just like, oh my god.
You were just looking at him.
I was just looking at him,
yeah.
And he was gone.
There's a reason he took off. He was actually secretly eating a steak.
Oh. Cheeseburger.
It's a prescription steak. It doesn't count.
Oh.
Steve. By the way, have you seen all the rumors?
I don't even want to talk about them anymore.
Okay. All right.
We talked about it on Twitter, and I felt really dirty afterwards. I'll recap briefly. You're seeing a lot of rumors. I've talked to a listener's an oncologist, and... she says on the oncology forums, almost everybody's agreed that every bit of information they've got sounds like a recurrence of the cancer. There was a rumor that he checked into Stanford Medical Center yesterday for surgery. And then there was a really creepy, stupid, and this is what made me kind of want to get off of this. Somebody posted what I'm sure is a fake medical transcriptions of Steve saying he had HIV.
Oh, this is,
yeah, oh man,
that's cruddy. So, that's just low. And
we ought to offer a reward for that person's IP address.
Yeah, no wow. kidding. I mean, that's just awful. So I, at this point, I don't know. I don't even want to say it again, but I'm going to say it again because it's already out there. But what I said is, it seems to me that what everybody's greatest fear is, and what everybody's really thinking in their minds is that this is it.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to say it. And we all want to respect Steve's privacy. But there is that kind of sense, it seems to me, in the community. I'm reporting on that, not so much on what.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening to Steve. God, I hope he's fine. And I can't wait till he comes back to Apple. But there does seem to be the sense in the entire community, maybe just because we're a bunch of pessimists, that this is it.
Right.
You know what really bothers me about this is, and maybe I'm reading it wrong. I hope I'm reading it wrong. But the internet has made people so cynical and so unaccountable. And I actually sometimes detect a little glee in some of these people.
That's what makes me sad.
And I'm like, you know, what kind of people are these?
Yeah.
And do they have people they care about, or are they literally so self-centered that they don't care about anybody but themselves? I mean, if the poor man has got this disease to the point where he's got to have surgery, and I don't care what you've got. If you got to have surgery, it's traumatic, it's difficult. And it doesn't matter how rich or poor or big or small you are. It's a big deal to those who love you, to those around you. And it's way more important than the stupid Apple computer company. Sorry. I just
we love you, Steve.
Yeah, we love you. And he's got a family. He's got kids. I mean, I wouldn't wish this on anybody. According to Mike Arrington, he has sources who met with Jobs yesterday, which means he isn't in the Stanford Medical Center. So.
Well, Valleywag is promoting a lot of this
stuff.
Anything for a trackback link. Don't even get me started on Valleywag.
Valleywag's awful, isn't it?
We're getting very close to the point in which there's going to be tech gossip to the same level that there's entertainment gossip.
It is. It already is.
Oh, it definitely is.
It's going to be TMP instead of TMZ or something like that, you know.
Anyway, so I don't want to... I'm bringing it up not to say anything about Steve's condition, but to note the response in the community. Which
Can we mention something that I don't think we've talked about that's positive?
Yeah.
Did anybody happen to pay? I mean, you know, I'm the guy, I guess, that pays attention to stuff like this. Did anybody pay attention to the quarterly results? Can we have an amen?
Oh, hallelujah, bro! I mean, Microsoft, everybody, Google,
Intel, 90% drop.
Wow.
Apple, best
up
quarter
ever.
Up, best quarter ever.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We're all talking about this down economy, and sure enough, the economy's down. But what I think we're seeing is that when people become more careful with their money, they avoid folks that suck. And, you know, the thing is, Apple doesn't suck, and they're doing well. And I got to tell you, everywhere I go, I'm seeing people that suck, and I'm thinking, man, how can you afford to suck in this economy? The companies that do well are going to flourish. And, you know, for everybody to say that Apple's doomed and, oh, they're not at Macworld anymore and Steve Jobs is sick and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, by the way, we just had our best quarter ever. Well, how is that not the story?
Best quarter ever and $20 billion in the bank, no debt.
Yeah. How's that not the lead story on Valleywag? That should be the lead story.
Justine, what's your cell phone number? I just want to send you an emoji.
You want to write?
just give that out over the air, Wanda. And we'll make sure that Apple calls you.
Write it small because people have got really good eyes.
Oh, boy.
Dee, dee, dee. Let's all look at Alex Lindsay's shirt for a while. Dee, 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 dee. So, no, I just, the 221 the 221 update is done. First thing, actually, I want to check is to see if this podcast RSS program is still there. And still works. Yeah, RSS player. And, yep, my podcasts are in there. And this is the one. This is Podcaster, the one that Apple prevented from being a part of the iTunes application library. Yesterday, they allowed it to go in there. What they took out, though, is weird. They took out the directory functionality. So you have to hand enter a URL. So just for those of you listening, if you've downloaded RSS player, I think it's 99 cents. It comes with, quote, their favorite podcast, which is Buzz Out Loud from CNET.
Hey, where's ours?
Yeah, where's us?
Where's us?
So I'm gonna tell you what ours is, so you can enter it in. You press the plus button. It's, and you have to enter this hand enter. This is not how podcasting was meant to be. HTTP. You even have to type http://. And it is leo.am/podcasts/mbw. And if you enter that in, then you can listen. And it looks like it's streaming the MP3. Like, it doesn't look like it downloads it. It's like when you press play, it'll listen to it.
I mean, you can always copy and paste it, right? Oh, that's right. Oh. You can't.
You're bad.
What? This has been 2 years.
You're
not
bad.
That she's bitter.
You can't even send multiple photos. I mean, get the multi-photo app. That's my new favorite.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Multi-photo lets you send multiple photos?
Yes, I've been using that a lot.
I'm going back to cool. iFart. Screw it.
You know, I didn't realize this. The iFart guy has a long lineage of software design and so forth. He's been around for quite some while.
Long lineage of farting?
I was going to say, he's kind of got a long lineage of smelly stuff.
Hey. Hey.
Hey, you know, okay. I'm sorry, but I just want to go back.
I'm going to send you a shell, and I'm going to send you a hammer hitting.
Oh, I can't wait.
Something weird. We don't know what it's hitting. How about this? Well,
would you guys take your private emoji experience
here's
somewhere else?
Here's a 38 pistol. And a guy surfing. And
Andy, what did you think about the fact that nearly 23 million
I'm going to send you a new dress.
Oh, I can't wait.
She's getting a new green dress.
Has
so
a
excited.
Unique opportunity here to leverage their investment in both media and the creation of media to usher in a brand new generation of content tools. Now, given that there's
so emoji works! Emoji works!
It does not break
now,
the emoji.
The problem is that server load is always going to have to be balanced against user demand. Now, if Apple were to install like sort of a sliding scale of royalties in the iPhone store, if they were to articulate this iPhone App Store model towards music, towards books, towards things like that, we could have a whole new paradigm for content.
Andy's going to keep talking while I do a commercial.
I just don't care about you setting icons about people pooping. I'm sorry.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back with more stories, including our picks of the week. Justine Azarek is here from iJustine.com. We love Justine. Also here in Lindsay Plaid, Mr. Alex Lindsay. Yes. Andy Anatko is on the line from Boston, Massachusetts, of the Chicago Sun-Times. Scott Bourne of Twip Photo. And I want to tell everybody to run out. Run. Do not walk. And get yourself a copy of GoToMeeting now. Mac enabled. The folks at Citrix are I'm thrilled to say are Mac fans.
Good.
And yay. And so they have made GoToMeeting work with Mac and Windows, of course. I want you to go to GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak. GoToMeeting.com/MacBreak and try it free for 30 days. Now here's the deal with GoToMeeting. You put it on your system. I got a note. I got a note from an IT guy. It was so cute. He said, would you not tell people to put software on their system without my permission? You don't need their permission. Ha, 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 ha. You just put it on. It's a couple of clicks of the mouse. You go to gotomeeting.com/MacBreak. The reason you don't need to worry about the IT department is it doesn't need to be configured for the router or the firewall. It just works. Now, once you've got it set up, it automatically interfaces with your Outlook. And so if you're using Windows, of course, I think it probably goes with Entourage on the Mac. So you can send a meeting invitation. They just click a link. They don't have to install anything, Mac or Windows. They just click the link, go to gotomeeting.com, and suddenly they're seeing your desktop on their screen. So they see your PowerPoint or your Keynote. They see your drawings. You can collaborate. You can say, hey, I'm working on this paragraph. Could you help me out? And you can work together. I've done it to practice speeches where we're in different places and we have a slideshow and we're talking to the slideshow and it's fast enough that we could go in real time practicing back and forth. I mean, it's amazing. You can even use it for training. If you've got, let's say you've already got your iLife 09 and you want to show somebody how to use a new iMovie. They don't have it yet. You can let them take control of your computer and use it. This thing is so powerful. I want you to try it for 30 days free. Go to meeting.com/MacBreak. It's a great product from great people at Citrix, and I know you're going to want to try it. We thank them really heartily for making a Mac version and supporting a MacBreak weekly. They're part of the Mac community now. I'm just relaxed. Emoji works. I can relax now. Other stories in the news. Have you been following the John Gruber Adobe? There's actually a website, adobegripes.tumblr.com. People are upset about the user interface for CS4. What's that all about? Have you seen that?
Well, I have one gripe.
Okay, what's CS4. Your gripe?
So on my Mac, and maybe someone can like call in or email us, but I've talked to people and no one that I know, and I know a lot of people know how to disable this. But they have, you know, they have all this new rotation stuff that was built into the new MacBook. You know, the two finger stuff where you can rotate images.
Well, doesn't it work?
No, when you open CS4 in an image, if you put your fingers down for too long, it just starts rotating the image, and you have to go back and reset it every single time. And I haven't found any preference. I went through all the preferences. I went through all the stuff. I'm trying to find a way to turn it off because I never ever wanted to do mm-hmm. that. I know it seems like it was a good idea. It wasn't. And so at least it should be default off, and then you can turn it on if you want, and there should be a big button on how to turn it off. But outside of that, I think that the interface has been great.
You got to go to this blog then.
What's the link?
And look at the entry for Wednesday, January 21st. That man feels very, very passionate about the tabbed interface.
AdobeGripes.tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R.
Fireworks CS4. Disabled the blank tabbed interface. I'm going to open 10 images to drag my site to side. Oh, look, they all open full blanking screen. Nice work, you bunch of blanks. When adding your utterly pointless blank and tedious tab blank, you managed to ruin how it worked before. Beep, beep, actually use this blank before you...
Okay. This is really funny.
It's kind of whether or not there are UI issues. This should be like
the next like love letters. They should do like Stephanie Zimbalist Jr. and another actor just one by one. Would it have killed you to spend half an hour giving the common library items proper name? Sincerely yours,
Dame Judith Evans reads Adobe UI gripes.
I sat through that hour-long installer sequence, yet this wasn't even installed fully.
There's always gripes every time there's a change with software. I happen to like the new user interface. I mean, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but it's definitely more efficient. There's far fewer keystrokes. There's far fewer. There's less distance for the mouse to travel. I like it.
Outside of the one rotation issue that I was having, I love it.
All right. So we'll sit back, let John Gruber gripe and moan himself into the, leave it there. I don't think he's did this Adobe UI gripes site, but he. If you read the Daring Fireball, that he has some other issues. Now, if you're a pirate, you're going to get spanked. And if you try to download iWorks 09,
yeah,
there's a Trojan horse in there. Oh, actually, there's two new Trojan horses.
That takes all the fun out of it.
It's the the exploit tool is labeled AppleScript Trojan Horse Template. The guys at MacShadows.com. Don't go there. Do not go there. The guys at I said don't go there.
Don't go.
Hey, stop. Oh, like 18 people just went there.
Yep.
I could feel it.
I probably took their site down. Or everyone go down there right now, but just don't download anything.
I feel a great disturbance around. Don't touch. Force. It appears to be a collective and ongoing effort to create a package of malicious software. This is very much what happens on the Windows side, where you have websites that sell packages you can install on your website or somewhere else that will take advantage of any unpatched machine that comes there. This takes advantage of that ARD agent hole that we talked about, which has been patched, by the way, hasn't it? I believe so. And it's not such a good exploit because you really have to get the user to cooperate with you. It's not something you can like sneak up on them, whap them on the head. Nevertheless, all the Windows people who...
The hard thing with a Mac is that it's hard to really put something in there unless you can get the user to manually input their password. So by having an installer that they think that they want and then asking them to
precisely.
Do that, once you open up that gate, you've opened
so
up the
one
gate.
In iWork 09, the pirate version, which is on the BitTorrents, installs a startup item. Called iWork Savage. The iWork installer, iWorkServices.package, is installed as a startup item with read, write, execute abilities. According to Intego, the Mac antivirus company, the rogue software connects to a remote server, notifies its creator that the Trojan's been installed, and then the bad guy can connect to them and use this remote access vulnerability to get in there, which is not good. According to Intego, 20,000 people already have downloaded the installer.
It's scary, too, because we think that we're so untouchable. So, I mean, if I was downloading iLife 09, I'd be so excited.
You know, I have to say, I don't feel too bad. These are people who are pirating the thing, right?
And if you're downloading it from some sketchy website, then that's your fault.
But this is what Windows users do all the time. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. And one of the rules on Windows is you don't accept files from strangers.
Or just don't use a Windows computer. I mean, that's really very simple.
Stop using Windows.
Come on, guys.
Intego also says it discovered a new variant of the same Trojan horse in pirated versions of Photoshop CS4. I hate the UI in CS4. It installs this thing in my startup menu. Man!
I don't have a lot of sympathy for folks that run into these problems. I'm sorry.
But
it is sort of a significant point in that it is actual, like, live in the field proof that there are people writing exploits for Mac software. I think they're just waiting for a good reason or a good mechanism to deploy it all. And if Apple ever did something really cool or really tricky with QuickTime that added a really wonderful new feature for root access without our knowledge, then suddenly this would stop being something that's only affected by people who like to steal software and becomes affected by just somebody who wants to access their iTunes library remotely.
I think that's a very good point. I mean, we are a little complacent, and part of the reason we're protected is because nobody's really trying to get into our systems. Part of it is, though, that at least for right now, it's not as easy as on Windows, and that's why these Trojans work, because you're literally getting the person to install you.
Yeah.
But you're right, Andy. At some point, there'll be a hole somewhere that won't
work. There's interest. The dinosaurs are testing the electrified fence.
I like that.
Well, I think that especially as the Mac continues to become more successful, and it's going to continue to become more successful, and we're going to see the percentage, there's going to be some breakpoint where it becomes a valid target. At 3%, it wasn't a valid target. At 10%, maybe it's a valid target. At 15 or 20% of the market, it becomes a valid target to go after.
Did they say in their earnings call, Scott, what market share? Was the market share going up still? Or I think it went down a little bit, didn't it?
I didn't respond to that part of the call. I was gone. But I do look at the up sales are like, you know, 1.5 billion over last. Let me double check here. 22 million iPods, more than 4 million iPhones.
Well, that's just, those numbers just sound big. 4 million in, it's a million.
In a 3 month period. And they sold 2,524,000 Macintosh computers, up 9% on the last 3 months.
Wow.
And everything was up. They sold 88% more iPhones in the final quarter of 2008 than they did in 2007. Wow. Their projections, of course, going forward are smaller, which, of course, they have to do. Plus, in this economy, it's not a surprise. But I was kind of taken aback by these iPod numbers in particular. They are still massive. I mean, you would think everybody's got a stinking iPod by now. You know?
Yeah, well, they're buying their second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Check this out. This is in 3 months. 22,727,000 iPods.
It is. It has to be the biggest quarter for them, right? Because it's the holiday.
It is.
Christmas.
It's the biggest quarter.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a good cross-section. I think I have at one point in time, had every iPod made, except for the first two. First two, I actually tried. I kept on trying to find cheaper.
Really?
I was like, I don't want to pay that much money.
I still have my first one, and it still works.
I bought the first generation used.
Whoops. There it is.
I like the...
It's big.
I like the mechanical roller.
I know, it's 5 gigs.
You could cut them with those sharp edges.
I know. It's got less memory than a shuffle, which you could clip to your lapel.
The scroll wheel is still better.
I can top that. I actually have a... The company that made the zip drives... It thought, you know what, these zip drives that we're making, they're so reliable and they never crash and they never have problems. Let's create a miniature version and build a portable music player around these portable zip drives.
Terrible idea.
And you have that?
I still have
terrible,
it, yes.
Terrible, terrible idea.
It's part of the Inotco archives. There's this box of stuff. It's not even like the island of misfit toys, because those toys are at least lovable.
You know what's good? This original iPod is right, FireWire charging.
Yeah.
Right? And I just yesterday finally found a connector with FireWire on it that still was in my drawer somewhere. So
the only bad thing about that is this was like last year. I could not, for some reason, find any of my iPods except for that one. So I'm like, I'm just going to go for a little walk. But every time you move, the wheel turns. So I kept turning down my music and changing music.
Really?
Your
wheel's loose.
It's
not supposed to.
But it wasn't a good thing.
But then you have to have a special FireWire cable. That's right, because this is not. This has a 6-pin FireWire connector.
I bought one of the G drives, and it comes with.
But it has to be a specially wired one. I think you can't use a regular cable, can you?
I charged it with just
a
regular one. Yeah.
Oh, cool. I have to charge this up. I wonder what's on here.
I know. That was great. I'm like, was I really listening to this?
Never
going to
give you up. Never going to let you down.
Never going.
That was mean.
Oh, God. Rickrolled.
I just rickrolled you.
But I bet that's what's on here.
Old computers and your old iPods and stuff like that. That like 5 years late, 5 years late. There are times when I actually need to like revive one of my old PowerBooks just because I need to check out something on like on System 8 or System 9. And like, wow, this is the, because it has all my music on it, all my email, all my contacts, everything I was writing. It's like, my God, it's like I moved out of my mom and dad's house and they kept the room exactly as I left it, like in 1986, 1987. And by plugging this power adapter in, I could see exactly what my world was like 5 or 6 years ago.
I'm charging this sucker up.
This is going to be exciting.
I have an old Nano that I just plugged in, you know, the version one, which I guess I'm expecting my $25. You know, did you see that there's a $25 settlement? We all get $25 back if we bought generation one. You know,
you get 21 cents. The lawyers get.
Well, the lawyers are the ones. Anytime you see these big settlements where we all get a $15 check or a $25 check, you know that the lawyers walked away with 10 million.
And typically, by the way, less than 17% of those are claimed, just so you know.
But if everybody does what it's like $4 million to Apple. I mean, it's a huge.
Yeah, but they're not, like I say. You look at the history of these things. Less than 17% people, you know, in general, not specifically to any particular product.
Right.
Less than 17% will actually do the work, you know, because you got to assume that they still live where they lived, and we're a very mobile society now. I mean, it's
It would be the first if you had a first generation Nano that was the scratch. It was how scratch. By the way, look how scratched the front of mine.
Mine's all scratched.
That was my favorite Nano.
But you know, I'm not, if I wasn't watching video, I just didn't care.
Yeah,
right? That was the whole thing.
All right.
It didn't become important until I was watching video.
Well, mm-hmm. It says, do not disconnect. It's charging up.
It's doing its thing.
Look at that. I forgot this even existed. Oh, updating library on Abby's iPod.
Uh-oh.
That's not what I want. I gave this to my daughter. That's what a terrible father I am.
I gave mine to my sister for a while.
Here, honey. Here, have an iPod. Well, now we know what's going to be on here. It's going to be ABBA. All right, let me just see. Abby's iPod, what's on it?
There's nothing like ABBA.
It wants me to update to version 1.5.
Okay. Now with upper and lowercase in song titles.
Listen, this is what's on it. This is great. I'm so excited. Wow.
Okay, now that Rick Astley and ABBA haven't played on this.
Wow, this thing even has ID3 tags. This is amazing.
I think we might want to just memorize this moment at 12 noon on this day
in the year of
our Lord, yeah. January 27th, 2009. Mac Break Weekly, ladies and gentlemen, Jump the Shark.
You remember this. This is when you were in high school. Everybody
year.
Now.
He was a boy. She was a girl. Can I make it anymore?
When I want to drive my kids crazy, I'll start singing. He was a boy. She was a girl. And they go. Argh!
Stop.
Well, we now know what my kids were listening to. In when was this? This was 2002.
What's really bad is those are oldies, which are way newer than anything I listen to.
I know they're really not that old. Wow. Will the real Slim Shady please stand up?
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
See,
may I have your attention, please?
I'm doing this for Justine.
May I have your attention, please?
This is memory lane for her.
Will the real Slim Shady please
this
stand up?
This is junior prom?
I didn't go.
You didn't go?
I went to a LAN party.
Oh, man. You just gained immense cred in my eyes. You went to a LAN party instead of prom?
Yes. My junior year. Played a little Quake, a little Unreal Tournament.
Oh.
But your gown was still fantastic.
Did you wear a gown?
I didn't, actually.
That would be funny. And have a little corsage.
That would have been amazing.
A little wrist corsage.
We call it Lanti Prom.
Oh, that's such a great idea.
It was a lot of fun, actually.
Oh, that's so cool.
At that point, it wasn't the cool thing to do.
No.
But now it is.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
iLife is here.
iLife has entered the building. All right, look at this, just in time. So Apple now is 2 for 2 in not screwing us. They did the iPhone update before the show was off the air.
No, they're 3 for 3, my friend.
Really? What else did they do?
Not mentioned perhaps the most important news of the day. This is just breaking over the wire. Apple releases iDVD 7.0.3.
You know, I've heard of this thing called a DVD. It's I guess it was something they used to use to put, they had plastic and they would put media.
Yeah.
Yep. On the plastic.
See, I got the family pack. I want to show you what a good person I am. Sure, I could buy one copy and install it on 400 machines. But no, I spent an extra $20, got the family pack before I installed it on 400.
And you know what's great about this? You know what's great about this? You do not have to type in the serial number for the first time ever.
Oh, no, no.
And that's iWork.
iWork. Because iLife never needed a serial number, right?
I did. Oh, that's right. Yeah, iWork, I didn't have to, but iLife, I was thinking maybe it was new on iWork.
But wait a minute, I installed iWork and it asked for the serial number,
you downloaded it, right?
Yeah.
No, if you buy it from the store, you don't. They know that you have the hardware.
That's good.
And so they know, you know, you installed it. Now, what I haven't tested is that, you know, with what they do with Final Cut, which is, I think, makes a lot of sense, is that they just don't let you run two copies, two that you didn't buy. If you don't have, like, for instance, the family pack or whatever, with Final Cut, if you have two copies of the same serial number on the same network.
On the LAN.
Right. So it could theoretically say if those licenses are licensed, but not having that makes total sense. Don't have a serial number.
Don't run two copies at the same time. But if you can install on every machine, if it's just, but
as you need it,
it means on
or
laptop,
if you have a family pack, it'll run.
It'd be totally reasonable.
Five can run at the same time.
Well, let's not encourage serial numbers. I mean, we don't need them.
Well, what I'm saying is that model, you wouldn't need any serial numbers.
No, I know. And this is actually Microsoft.
That's the way it makes sense.
Did that with Microsoft Office Mac. Right. Where it would you'd get on the family pack or the student pack, whatever, you'd get, I think, 3 or 4 serial numbers. And if you had, which it was really smart, because now you've got three copies.
Right.
If you had the same copy running twice, it would then say, no, sorry, it's already running.
Right.
You can only run three serial numbers simultaneously. It was, I think that's a very good model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always wondered, you know, they're so smart at these places. Why aren't they smart enough to figure out how to do this without making me type in 128 numbers?
Yeah, I agree. Well, now you don't. iLife 09. Oh, baby.
By the way, I just exported my first photograph from iPhoto to Flickr. It went flawlessly.
Oh, so you've actually used it now?
Oh, yeah.
iPhoto Flickr. And I want the, you know what I'm really interested in is the face recognition, particularly.
It works. I just tested it.
I love the idea that it integrates with Facebook.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I used my old, unfortunately, dearly departed dog, Pete, as a test. It even recognized
it. Works with
him.
Dogs?
Yep.
It's not supposed to.
It's kind of creepy.
It did. I don't know why I only had creepy. Three pictures. Yeah.
No, because I thought it was using the nose, the eyes, and the mouth. And the
dogs have nose, eyes, and mouth.
They do.
We don't know who this is, but man, is he ugly.
All of my friends who don't want to get tagged on Facebook aren't going to enjoy this.
Damn, that's a big nose.
I had three photographs.
And it found him?
And it found him.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It works. And I just did the places thing. And that works. It put me when it doesn't. It has a pop-up that starts to give you some suggestions as you type. But if you're at a place it doesn't recognize, you just type it in, and it goes to Google and says, "Oh, is this it?" And sure enough, there it is on the map.
Someone said to title this Mac Break episode: "Dogs have eyes, a nose, and a mouth."
You learn something every show.
The things you learn on Mac Break Weekly.
Really? So let's see. Register online later. Okay. So it's going through the install. So by the time we're done, we'll have an install here. Before we go to our picks of the week, any other stories? There's so many stories this week.
I just got through telling you. You guys just blew me off. IDVD 7.0.3.
Doesn't
on.
That come with this?
That's a separate download.
You mean it doesn't come with the latest IDVD? They've updated it the day it comes out?
Yeah.
Steven.
Well, they must have made some bad mistake.
Another thing is that there's this brewing thing that's happening between Palm and Apple, right?
What's that?
Oh, yeah,
over the multi-touch. So Apple yesterday was awarded the patent for multi-touch.
Right.
And it's a pretty deep patent. It's not like a one-page patent. It is like everything you could do with two fingers.
Which surprises me, because I thought that the multi-touch was kind of open. Because didn't, you know, that guy from Carnegie Mellon demonstrated it, TED, and all of that?
Well, the question is, when did Apple apply? I mean, it could have been years ago that they applied for it. It's not like they applied for it last week and got it. They could have applied years ago.
They just got it, though. It's been approved now.
It's been approved.
Okay.
Which, you know, depending on how the patent office looks at it, could be a real problem for the Palm Pre.
Because the Pre uses multi-touch.
It's using the same technology. It literally could shut the whole thing down.
See, I hate to see that, because I want to see some competition in this space, don't you? I mean,
yeah, I definitely want to check it out.
You don't want to have... the Pre looked really cool. Did you look at CES? Were you able to touch it?
I actually didn't get to see it, no. Yeah. I'm very, very sad. But I mean, I used to love my Trio.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I loved the Palm OS. It was the first, you know... In fact, the story of Palm is that Apple had this thing called the Newton. They left out, you know, some critical features like desktop syncing. Palm comes along... makes handwriting work with Graffiti, does desktop syncing, and the Newton's gone. I mean, Palm really ate Apple's lunch.
And the Newton was also the wrong form.
Too big.
It's too big.
I mean, I love the Newton, but the Palm Pilot was everything the Newton wanted to be.
Right.
And so I hope Apple doesn't shut Palm down on this one.
But sure they'll try.
That's probably yeah, the point of the patent.
Yeah, that's why. And they have to. I mean, as Scott has pointed out before, once they have a patent, the issue is that if someone... They can't just say, "Oh, it's okay." They have to either license it to Palm or tell Palm to stop using it. But they can't just turn the other.
According to Agathon in our chat room, the patent was submitted September 2006,
right?
Which is considerably later than that multi-touch demo that we all saw.
No, when we saw it though, it was two hands too.
That's
I don't
true.
Think it was. I don't. It
wasn't with fingers.
Yeah, it wasn't with.
Well,
fingers.
There was a pinch.
Oh, was there a pinch?
Well, you know, the patent office has a history of not looking at prior art very closely,
so. And not watching TED. No one from the patent office goes to TED, as you can see.
Apparently not.
Andy and I have decided to patent the middle finger being rolled up in a special salute.
I thought you said rolled down, and I'm trying to do this thing. I don't know what that is. All right. Any other stories? Last chance going?
Oh, there is a new software update. It is the iLife Media Browser.
Ooh.
which improves overall stability and addresses a number of other minor issues recommended for all users of Aperture, iLife, iWork, and macOS 10.5.6 Leopard or later.
So these are all, they've pressed the disk. They must have pressed it a couple of weeks ago in order to get it into the stores by now. So these are just things they found after.
Yeah. And it might be stuff that had to come this way as opposed to on the disk as well.
Right.
But that's what's going on.
Mark Papermaster has got the go-ahead to go to work at the iPhone division of Apple. Remember, he was the guy who came from IBM. IBM said, you can't go to work for Apple. We've got a non-compete. Now he'll start work April 24th.
Congratulations.
Senior Vice President of Devices Hardware Engineering. Says reports to Apple CEO Steve Jobs.
I bet that's
like to have a job title that just basically says manager of stuff and things.
Stuff. Stuff and
things. Evidently important stuff and things, because it made IBM very upset.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get our picks of the week here in just a second. Before we do that, I've got a pick for you. I've got the Audible pick of the week. Audible.com/MacBreaks, a place to go to get your gold subscription that gives you a book a month. And when you do that right now, you get a free book, a credit right away, which means even if you decide not to stick around, you know, if you say, this wasn't for me, you won't say that. But if you do, you get to keep the book. Here's what you do. You go to audible.com/MacBreak. Now, when you go there and you sign up, I'm going to tell you there's another free book I'm going to give you in just a second. We've got a special TWIT free book. But before I do that, I'm going to give you all a chance to make an Audible. Do you listen to Audible? I never asked you, Justine. Are you listening to audiobooks at all?
Mm-mm.
You're probably
Maybe
too
I
young.
Maybe I should start.
I think because when you're spending a lot of time on buses.
Yeah, I know. I'm starting. It's my new thing.
You'll find that there's no better way to get used to the fact that the bag lady next to you is either passed out or dead.
We won't even talk about who was next to me today.
Really? Who was next to you?
I just, a few crazy people.
So you raised the conversation.
A few crazy people.
Oh, because you were on the 80.
Yeah, I didn't know what was
the crazy
going
people,
on.
The crazy people bus.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to get on the 73
or 74.
You want the 74,
which is the express.
73, too.
Well, Alex, you didn't tell me.
No, you can't.
You told me 511.org, and I typed in it, and it told me what I needed to do.
Oh,
I am walking around asking people.
Bus.
I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Help.
It's the crazy bus.
So I'm going to go check out some Audible books.
You should, because you put in the headphones, and they think you're busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you
it's
then
the socially an awkward way to have voices inside your head as you're riding the bus.
Love it.
Do you have a book for us, Mr. Hinako?
Yes, I do. I have a very special inspirational volume. And these trying, troubling times when we're looking for a lamp unto our feet, so to speak, in these dark, dark ways. Ms. Carrie Fisher has a memoir of how much drinking and drugs she did over the past 20 years while she became a superstar.
I love this book.
It's called, first of all, okay, oftentimes, you know, you pick up these like celebrity like biographies, like, because, okay, I just wanted to find out how remorseful Tony Curtis he is for all the people that he slept with between the years 1951 and 1963 inclusive. But then Carrie Fisher is actually a very, very good novelist. So she wrote a fake memoir entitled Postcards from the Edge,
which was a great movie with Shirley MacLaine. Love that.
Exactly. I mean, and you could tell it's like, you know, you don't have to be like a celebrity gossip person to realize, oh, that person is actually her mother.
Yes.
That sort of stuff. This time she's actually talking about her real life. It is, let's say that it is an efficiently told tale. It's unabridged, and unabridged, it's at 3 hours and 8 minutes. But still,
you gotta love the cover, though. Did you see the cover?
It's essentially Princess. It's Princess Leia, her head down, with like sort of a sloppy martini glass in her right hand. Books like this really, as someone who occasionally writes books, it just sort of challenges me to say, do not even consider getting into publishing unless you can get a cover as good as that. Because, you know, I just want to buy that book just based on that.
Can we just listen a little bit? This is Carrie reads it herself.
Yes. Another reason for
this. And I didn't know she was 19 when she became Princess Leia. Mm. Wow. She was young. So
she was also like half British, because she'd been in boarding school for like 3 or 4 years. That's why her accent kind of tails up and down.
Oh, that explains it. Yeah, because Eddie Fisher was not known for his cultured accent.
Or his fidelity.
nor for that matter was Debbie Reynolds. Here we go.
I understood that my version of reality had a tendency to set me apart from others. And when you're young, you want to fit in. Hell, I still want to fit in with certain humans. But as you get older, you get a little more discriminating. Well, my parents were professionally committed to sticking out. So all too frequently, I found myself sticking out right along with them.
Yeah.
And before anybody like emails or Twitters, I acknowledge the hypocrisy of 45 minutes ago complaining about the Mac rumors market becoming more like entertainment gossip and then recommending a book that's nothing but like stars talking about their drinking. I acknowledge
these
that.
Are stars. They want this
attention.
I'm a complicated
man. All right. But it's good. I mean, it's just one of those, you know, there have been times when I've wanted to like really immerse myself in a great novel. You know, you just want to, you know, immerse yourself in great culture. And great classics. Then you want to know, okay, did you actually like get it on with Harrison Ford, or did you just make out a little? You know, and
so
I have not gotten that far yet. As a matter of fact, I bought the
apparently
Kindle
neither book. Has Harrison. No, sorry. Go ahead.
I was in my own conversational space. I did not fully parse your comment. Had I been in full listening mode, I would have chuckled appreciatively at that.
Thank you for the delayed chuckle.
That was both funny and fast. You are to be. I'll give you one Amazon credit of the pile that I'm coming. I got coming to me in the next 30 days.
That's what she said. Yeah. So this is our pick of the week, and a good. I think it's Andy. Good choice. Now it's going on my wish list. That's another thing I love. This is, it has a Netflix style list system. So, you know, I'm looking here, Carrie Fisher, Wishful Drinking. Gotta listen to that. So right here, I could just add it to my wish list. I press the button. You can see I've already got some books on my wish list. So now the next time I get some credits, I will just have a list of the books that I am trying to keep track of. Very nice Netflix style kind of queuing. I love Audible. AUDIBLE.com. Listen to your books. There are 51,000 titles, fiction, nonfiction, science fiction. I'm listening to a book that I think you recommended, Andy, some time ago. It was on my wish list, The Team of Rivals. And it's just, yeah. Boy, what a Doris Kearns Goodwin is so great. And it's such a good book. The story of Lincoln and the Republican nomination in 1860 and the battle and then bringing in his rivals into the cabinet. It just brings it alive. There's so much good listening.
I went ahead and got that one based on that recommendation. I'm about halfway through it.
Isn't it good?
I love Doris Kearns Goodwin.
I feel like, you know, one of the things, I like to listen to the nonfiction. I mix it up. You know, I just read a fiction book, you know, a Neil Gaiman book. By the way, Neil Gaiman's Newbery Award winner is on here as well, if you want to get to, it was great. Was Graveyard?
The Graveyard book, yes. Book,
yeah. So
what a week he's having. He was blogging about how he finally had he's in the hotel after the last day of doing the press junket to promote like the latest movie based on his book, to be told that he won basically one of the most prestigious awards in fiction that there is. And Graveyard Book is also like, you know, actually climbing up on the New York Times bestsellers.
Great book. It's a juvenile, but it's adults love it. It's a great book.
It's like it's a success beyond envy. It's like, well, I'd be sort of envious of someone who's like a little bit more successful. But it's like, my God, I hope he gets nominated for like an Oscar like next week. They simply they recount something, and say, you know, we decide we're going to give Neil Gaiman a special Oscar because everyone wants to have a week that's that just over the top, ridiculously good.
But he's a genuinely nice guy, and you he's one of those people where you're just glad for his success. You know, it's like he deserves it. He's been so good for so long, and he's getting the recognition he deserves, and it's just. You just feel good. What is the movie that they're making?
Coraline. It's Tim Burton did a stop motion. And even that book, it's, you know, I mean,
can't wait.
The damn thing is he writes these children's books that you just read as adults. And you're like, I've read like serious John Updike books that I did not enjoy one half as well as, you know,
he's a wonderful writer. Book. Yeah.
Awesome. He's definitely if his name is on it, I'm buying it, period.
So you can also get Neil Gaiman, lots of it on audible.com.
Usually him reading his own stuff and like great. Carrie Fisher reading her own stuff. That's something you want to watch.
She sounds like she's had a few camels and a couple of...
There's some credibility in that voice.
And then Harrison comes up to me and says, what's that on your head?
Our pick of the week, Wishful Drinking, Carrie Fisher. Great book. I can't wait to listen to that one. Audible.com/MacBreak. We thank them so much for their support of MacBreak Weekly. Now it's time for the most popular feature we do on Mac Break Weekly. People look forward to this. They sit through the entire blathery first hour just to get to this point.
Either that or they fast forward ahead to it.
Yeah, actually, don't say anything about that. Keep that under your hat. It's our picks of the week. And I'm going to start. I never start. I'm going to start.
You never start.
So I'm going to start today. And, you know, I have a WordPress blog. And, you know, I know you're a big blogger, Justine.
Mm-hmm.
And I used Mars Edit, and Daniel Jalkut is a friend of the show, and we love Red Sweater Software, and I do love his program. But I got to say, there is a new blogging tool.
Uh-oh.
Have you seen Blogo yet?
I haven't.
Are you, you're WordPress, right?
Yes, I'm WordPress.
B-L-O-G-O is fantabulous. It is, I'm going to say, I've said this before, it's in that delicious generation of great Mac programs.
Ooh, yeah.
It's beautiful. It just really looks good. It works really nicely. He's with it. You know, he's, for instance, he's got Ubiquity commands on his page. You know, any page where you go there and Ubiquity says, oh, there's new commands.
And we took it down.
We did we? Already?
Well,
I can't get to it. It's
jeez Louise.
Oh, the wonders of a live show. The wonders of a live show.
All right, well, it's drinkbrainjuice.com. It's got the cutest little bunny icon.
It's just slow.
Drinkbrainjuice.com. So Blogo 2 is out. 1.2, I'm sorry. A couple of things I really like about it. It handles media very nicely. Very easy to drag and drop pictures in there. It has a built-in thumbnail maker. You can decide, you could say, it actually reads your template, so it knows how wide the posts can be. So you could say, you know, I want it as big as it can be without going, have you ever put a thumbnail, a picture in there and you know, wraps around the whole thing. This way it never is too big. It has all sorts of really sweet features.
You
in
can
it.
Post in advance or like write a whole bunch of stuff and have
got
it.
Got complete scheduling. In fact, very nicely simple interface for scheduling. I've become a huge fan of Blogo. It is, again, it's from drinkbrainjuice.com. Now, here's another nice thing. You know, it's a new, you know, relatively new program. It crashed on me, and I was in the. I had just finished a long post, and I thought, oh, great, now I got to do the whole thing again. Reopened it. The whole post was there. I hadn't saved it. It just keeps track of it as you go.
That's really cool.
Really good. It uses previews that are directly from your CSS. It downloads the CSS, so the preview is exactly as it's going to look. Feature after feature in here. And you're right, I can't get to the one.
I can't either. Yeah. It's not working.
We've completely broken it.
Oh, here it goes.
It's coming. It's very slow. It's just, of course, they have all these screen captures, which I'm sure everyone's looking at right now.
Yeah, that's
all
probably what's
images,
slowing it down.
And it's,
It's just a really sweet program. I don't remember how much it is. Can you see how much the price?
I think it's $25. Yeah. $25 to buy.
I got a nice note when I purchased it from its author. Just very impressed. Handles tags and categories for WordPress very well. Very intuitive.
And it integrates into WordPress very easily.
Well, not just WordPress. You know, WordPress uses a standard API that Blogger uses and TypePad uses. I think it works with most blogs. Actually, got the idea from the guy who does slash message, Stowe Boyd. He uses this, and I saw him on FriendFeed noting that he'd use Blogo, and I thought, well, I should ought to try this. It is a very, very slick piece of software. Big buttons. If you don't like big buttons, you might not like it. The user interface is prominent.
it's definitely made for movie use.
Yeah, it's Web 2.0.
you got to make sure that everybody in the audience knows exactly what that kid is doing on his computer, so you always have the big button that says new
like that.
Post, next to the button says edit post.
Yeah, it does look like that, doesn't it?
It has kind of like login.
Yes.
That it takes up the entire page.
But I love Tumblr. Don't you love Tumblr? I went back to Tumblr. You know, not such a big fan of that.
I'm not a big Tumblr fan.
I went back because they have new themes and stuff, and I'm really liking the new stuff, the new dashboard. Anyway, that's my pick. Blogo, B-L-O-G-O. I like the bunny with the glasses. Drink Brain Juice is a good name for a company. All of these are enough to make me a fan. and I paid for it. That's my pick of the week. Now, Miss Justine, it should have let you go first because it is ladies first.
No, it's fine. You know, I'm not a big Mac app person other than using, you know, like the Adobe Suite and Final Cut. So, I mean, that's really the only apps that I use, but... Now we're talking apps, iPhone apps.
You can talk
I'm
iPhone apps.
I have
How many
to.
Pages of iPhone apps do you have?
About nine.
Nine's pretty good.
Ten. Yeah,
that's pretty good because it's what 12 a page, 16 a page.
That's a lot. I got a lot. Let's just go with that. So I guess, I mean, obviously, the emoji icons, huge fan. So, I mean, that's going to be my pick, but I also have another little secret one. So, the app is Frosty App. It's the app that we were talking about a little bit earlier.
By the way, you can delete it. You don't have to keep it.
Yeah. Once it activates, you're good to go. It's 99 cents. It's in the app store. Download it and install those emoji icons.
Play with it on your iPhone. And if you go to tastyblogsnack.com or ijustine.com, you have a post with screenshots and everything. What I did. I went to your site and I followed your instructions.
There's all that. And then there's this other fun game, which I strayed from purchasing from the iTunes store. It's called Sally's Salon. I'm telling you, you're going to think I'm crazy. I refuse to download this, but it is an obsessively addictive game.
No, it's not weird like you're a hairdresser, is it?
You are. You're a hairdresser. Oh. You hire people. I'm telling you, once you start playing this, you're going to be like, wow, you're right. And if I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
It's not on the iTunes App Store?
It is. No, it's in the App Store.
Oh, it is.
It's,
okay.
It's called Sally's Salon.
All right,
so you play this little hairdresser and you go around and you try to, like, you know, make as much money as you can, and you have to hire people.
I only have 8 pages of apps, so I'm going to have to get going here. I clearly I'm not up to Justine's standards.
It's a pretty fun app, I promise.
Sally's Salon.
Yes.
And you're the business owner.
Yes, and you hire people, and you just have to try to make sure that there's people not in the waiting room too long. So, I mean, there's a little bit of strategy.
I like that kind of where you're running a business.
Yeah.
It's like real-time strategy game.
It's pretty fun, and it's great for bus rides.
It's only a buck.
I know.
Great for bus rides.
I love how all of the iTunes apps, they're always on sale. No matter what it is, everyone's like, oh, 99-cent sale. And it's on sale pretty much for the rest of its lifetime on the store.
They're doing that with all of the games from... it's the people who do Enigma and all of those. They're all 99 cents now.
That's such a good price point.
You know what? I don't think they could probably make much money because Apple takes, 30 cents? And then they're making 60 cents a game. So I doubt they're making much money. But boy, it sure is nice for us end users.
Yeah.
Because
I think there's a lot of
painless purchase.
Mm-hmm. There's been some talk about people saying, well, you know, we're losing what we could get if people were paying a little bit more for the application.
Yeah.
But I have to admit, I think about, we're working on a bunch of apps, and there's some apps that we're looking at that may cost a fair bit of money because they're really, really niche products for the iPhone for professionals. But a lot of the stuff that we're thinking about is 99 to maybe up to 299, because you just want it to be one of those things people just kind of flick their wrist and buy. But that also does affect how many hours you calculate. You calculate if 1,000 people download it, you know, or 10,000 people download it over 6 months, am I going to really get any money out of this?
I mean, a lot of these apps, too, aren't making their money off of downloads. It's more the advertising, so.
I'm in Sally's Salon now.
It's pretty fun. I'm sorry. I've been playing it for, 2 days straight. I'm not proud. I made it to Hollywood, finally.
Oh.
I'm so excited.
Oh, so, you're a...
Welcome to Hollywood!
You're like a stylist to the stars.
Yes. It's
what's,
fun.
Okay, I can play or play Survival. Survival's like the cutthroat mode?
Yeah.
Should I play Survival? How do you play?
You can play Survival. It just gives you a good little taste of what you're getting.
What it would really be
into.
Like?
Yes.
As a cosmetologist? Good. All right. I'm going to play Survival mode.
It's fun, guys. I promise.
Sally's Salon. Hey, it's cute. I like this.
It's fun.
It says, don't let a single customer leave. Oh, that's why it's Survival mode. Because if anybody leaves the shop, well, what do I got to... Oh, she wants to go to the bathroom. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Alex, quick. What's your pick?
Save us from Sally.
Quick, Alex.
So my pick is something that that Alutha in our office started to use, and it is a and I went away from it because I was looking at the brain juice. Hold on. It is called Roo Switch. So this is by rubasoft.com, and I made sure I got to the page before I said it because otherwise I'm gonna get locked up a little bit. So it's rubasoft.com. It's RoobaSoft. .com, and it's called Roo Switch, and what it does is it allows you to shuffle your settings around, so you can have multiple preference settings. So you have a couple people you're working on beta testing, or you're working on if you have a couple different people using the machine and they like it to be set up a different way, all of this stuff can be switched behind. Now what I'm using it for, what I'm building it into the system for right now, is so I have a lot of photos. I have some of them on my laptop that I like to have on my laptop. They're example files, like for my iPhoto library. That's just like example files for presentations, or my Aperture library has a lot of the heavier stuff. But what I want is I want on my iPhoto library of my personal stuff, what I want it to look at my iPhoto collection when I'm traveling. But I want it to look at an external drive as my iPhoto collection when I'm at home.
Yeah.
This allows
somebody
you to
call
set
me and
those
ask
preferences.
Me how to do that on the radio show.
Exactly. This allows you to set those preferences. So you simply go boom and you switch over, and now it switches over to another, it switches over to a, this is the preferences now, and you don't have to go in and re-link it or pull it out. And so that's what this allows you to do, is switch between those types of things, the library, the preferences, the setup, everything can be moved back and forth. Like, for instance, when I there's a one presentation I do in Photoshop that requires me to switch to nearest neighbor for scaling. And you never want to have that set unless you're doing that presentation. And so I do it, and then I can't figure out why everything's getting chunky when I'm bringing it down. And so having something like this allows me to switch to that to the presentation and then switch back when I'm not doing using it. It's $14, $15, $14.95. So it's not very expensive. And so far, from our initial testing, Alutha has been loves it. He's been using it for everything. I've just started using it, and I really like it. So RuSwitch.
I'm sorry, I'm busy washing hair.
Leo's over there giving you haircuts and manicures.
Neck. When you're washing hair, you massage the back of the neck.
I picked bangs, and she's really unhappy about it.
Oh, you have to pick the smiley face.
And you can't grow out bangs. It takes forever. So I've really messed. And then I gave somebody
a proposal for the visual quick start guide on this. I am.
I'm telling you, it's honestly addicting.
The visual quick start guide to Sally's salon.
Now remember, you'll want to talk about boys during the set and rinse, but not during the shampoo, because that's rude.
Oh, man. Oh, I haven't lost a customer yet, but all the chairs are full. Quick, pick a style. Golden Honey, Horizon Blue. Oh, see, if
I'm
it's gorgeous, she smiles. Mm-hmm. Oh, she wanted Lilac Blossom. Radiant.
Yeah.
Now Andy Anatko is going to give us a pick while I lather up some more women.
Oh. Oh, baby. Yes. It's a different kind of salon.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I thought I'd give that comment a little bit of air around it. Before
Thank you. Finally, somebody who gets my myself. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
Okay. Well, I am a professional writer. So as a result, I spend a lot of times looking at a document window until it flips into the screensaver. So for that reason, screensavers are a big part of my computational forum there. So I'm just going to recommend a really cool one that I found the other day, the Moving Photos 3D Saver. It's at davidmcnerney.com, David, McNerney. And what it does, it takes any pictures folder that you happen to mention, and in screensaver it will just simply build a really cool house of cards out of all those photos and rotate it and fly through it in 3D, and that's really all it does. So you'll be like on the phone, and at some point you're seeing this really cool awesome cityscape being built with like all your vacation photos and like all the comic book preview covers that you downloaded from Newsarama, and all the stuff that you took off your eyesight and all that sort of stuff. And by the time it's finished building, you're like, wow, what an odd little world that these people live in. But it's a great demonstration of like how much horsepower is like sort of lurking there inside every CPU. It almost feels like you're unworthy of saying, gee, all I keep doing is typing keys and having those keys turn into letters on the screen. It's almost as if this computer has gotten bored with like so little to do that it has to actually make up these really complicated projects to do on its own. And it is a free screensaver, so it's $0.00, free.
And again, the name is?
It's called Moving Photos 3D. They also have just plain Moving Photos, which is cool, but kind of like, it's like just shuffling cards sort of thing. But this is like, wow.
This is pretty cool looking. I have to say, I'm going to download this.
Wait, see it in motion. The screenshot on that site just shows you like a static picture of it, but it actually rotates all around and you can fly through.
Oh, cool! And it does it from your iPhoto.
Does it right from my folder you designate? It was a little bit weird because I had it on my iMac first, and all my pictures are on my Drobo, not on like the internal drive. But I happened to choose the pictures folder, so for like the first night, all it was doing was taking the 12 images that I scanned off a recent copy of issue of Wonder Woman and the three photos I took with my eyesight when I'm trying to get a self-portrait going. So it looked like the most obsessed Gail Simone fan thing ever.
Well, there's not that there's anything wrong with that.
If you're going to be obsessed with a comic book writer, Gail Simone would be high on the list. She's
there you go.
She has many qualities.
Last but not least, Mr. Scott Bourne.
Well, I think I did a free pick last week, didn't I?
Yes.
So I'm going to go the other
direction. Spend us some money.
Hang on. Yes, I'd spend $2,000.
This is 22 Alexes.
I'm taking my wallet out of my pocket.
Wait a minute.
I'm throwing it.
What are we buying, a Tesla? What is
it? It's 22 Alexes. It's the second most expensive iPhone accessory I can think of.
Is it made of solid gold?
Nope. It's a Mamiya DL28 medium format 28 megapixel camera.
Okay.
For $15,000. But here's where the iPhone comes in. This little sucker, if anybody familiar with the concept of tethered shooting, you can control this leaf back on the Mamiya DL28 with your iPhone. How cool is that?
Really?
You can control it. Now, it gets better. You see, as you press the little button on your iPhone, you take the picture. The DL28 fires. You see the photo come up on your iPhone. You can even do stuff to it on your iPhone.
Wow. Is this using Wi-Fi? How does it do that?
I do not know.
Magic. It's using magic.
Do I have to pause Sally's salon?
It's in beta right now. They're going to show it to me on March 2nd at the sneak peek at PMA in Las Vegas. I'm going to get to play with it. But it's 15 grand. That's a lot of money. But this is a very high-end camera for pros. Comes with a back, two lenses, the body, and you have to buy your own iPhone. But
yeah, see, 15 grand, they cannot give you a $200 iPhone.
No, they cannot.
Or iPod Touch.
But, you know, this is like the iPhone remote, which I love for my Apple TV. It makes sense when you've got a little computer like this and UI.
We predicted there were going to be stuff like this coming out, and the Mamiya DL28 is the first thing to do it. So last week I went free. This week I'm at 22 Alexes. Next week I'll go down a little.
So your average right now is 11 Alexes. Is that right?
if you're only looking at the last 2 weeks.
So it turns out that it turns out 11 Alexes is now a Scott.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, all right, we've got a new unit, and Alex is $700, roughly the cost of Photoshop.
$7,700 is a Scott.
That's half of what I'm recommending today.
Right, so it's two Scotts.
Wow. Yeah, two Scotts.
If it turns out if you put something that's 10 Scotts, then that's a great Scott.
I like it.
So if you recommend a Lamborghini that holds an iPod, then that would be three great Scots.
No, I think I already recommended my R350 Mercedes as the most expensive iPhone accessory.
So that would be two great Scots or one great Scott.
Well, about 80K, whatever that.
Yeah, that's about a great Scott.
But this is more practical. It's a $15,000 camera, and I would submit that those who are buying the D3X, you know, for about double that price, they could step up to this, and it wouldn't be that big a stretch to get something in this format. Although, for me as a wildlife photographer, it's not that attractive. Thank God, because I'd probably be buying one otherwise.
We had a photographer on the Tasmania adventure, Charlie Kramer, who shot that camera. I don't know if he's using the leaf back. He's shooting it. I think it was, because it was 29 megapixel Mamiya. Yeah. And amazing detail in those images. Unbelievable. But he basically was doing almost still lifes, right? I mean, he's doing rock
keep in mind,
and trees.
This is the newest version of this, Leo. So there's some new stuff here. There's a touch screen on the back of the leaf back that allows you to do a lot of cool things. And these cameras do – where they're really special is – you're looking at something that has very large sensor size sights on the sensor. The pixel size is huge. So it's 28 megapixels, but it's 28 megapixels on something that's like three times the size of a 35 millimeter full frame sensor. So you get 12 stops of dynamic range on this thing. So you don't even
need
to do
this. It's like HDR, isn't it?
Yeah, it's built in HDR. And it's really quite a remarkable leap when you look at cameras like this. Just a few years ago, we're in the $200,000 range. This is just one more thing that, you know, 2 years from now, people might think that this is irrelevant today. But 2 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see these cameras come down into the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000.
Oh, that would be amazing.
And if you think about it, this is, consider shooting HDRs with this. You get quite an image.
Well, look at this is one of Charlie Kramer's images using that camera, and I guarantee you, it's just one exposure. But the range. If you go to his website, you can see a lot of stuff using that camera. Charles Kramer, CRAMER.com.
But anyway, I will test.
I can't
wait
to see it, Scott.
Test this with the iPhone.
I love that idea because that's basically what model photographers do, where they have the wireless connection and it goes right to the laptop so they could see the image on a bigger
screen. Justine, I'm going to need a model while I'm doing this test. Will you be available?
Justine, I got a hint.
Can I bring my iPhone?
Stay away.
Stay well away.
I'll be playing Sally's Salon, and you can use your $15,000 iPhone app, and I'll be playing my 99 cent app. A little bit of a difference.
All right, those are our picks. There is one thing I didn't mention, and it's a very important thing, and I thought I'd save it for last. Last Saturday, the 24th of January, was the 25th anniversary of the Macintosh. It wouldn't be a Mac Break Weekly without the Macintosh. And I thought maybe we could end the show today just with some Mac memories. Your first Mac, Alex Lindsay, what was it?
Well, my first Mac was an Apple IIe. Now, I learned how to program on a Franklin because there was actually... Right. You know,
there were
the
Apple clones, yeah.
And they were down...
Your first Apple. Remember but what my first Mac was?
My first Mac, my cousin had one that I played with all the time. So, but the first Mac that I actually bought was an Apple IIe.
That's not a Mac.
Mac IIe.
Oh, Mac
Remember
IIe.
The FX, the CI.
Yes, those are cute. I like those.
And it was a little box.
Yeah.
And I put 122 megabytes of disk drive in it, and people thought I was insane.
You're
crazy. I was like, but I'm doing audio.
That's one image.
They were like, how are you going to ever fill up 122 megabytes? Really? And I was like, I am doing audio.
It's probably one image from this Mamiya camera.
Exactly. So it was great.
What,
I loved it.
What was your first Mac, Justine? You remember?
Well, I remember I had the Apple 2GS. That's the first thing that I've ever touched.
Now, that was a really nice Apple.
It was.
I remember that was a color. It was really...
Yeah, I used to print out banners and I'd be tearing that little paper.
Yeah, the perf. Yeah, microperf. Yeah.
But the first actual computer that I had was a Power Mac 6160. And I remember I got 32 gigs of RAM for Christmas and a version of Soft Windows. I don't know if you guys remember.
It was 32 megs of RAM.
32 megs.
Yeah. 32 megs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you could get 32 gigs, but it was 32 megs.
Did I say gigs? Oh,
maybe
my
you did. Maybe you didn't.
I don't know.
I don't
32
remember.
Megs of RAM. And I thought that the world was.
Yeah, that's
just
a lot of RAM.
When I was at ILM, working at ILM, I had to write a 3-page proposal to get 64 more megs of RAM. And I literally made it on, this is how it changes the rendering speed of Electric Image.
It was probably thousands of dollars, too.
Yeah. Oh, it was expensive. I don't know what it was, but I had 128 megs, and I wanted 192, and I wrote this long proposal because I wasn't getting it, and I got
Scott Bourne, you remember your first Mac?
I do very well. It was the Mac Plus.
Yeah. That was the original form factor.
It was
portable. It had a handle.
Yep, and
ready to go.
I was very excited when because it included the RAM expansion all the way to 4 megabytes. It shipped with 512K of RAM, which was really more than anybody ever thought you'd need. But you know, even back then, I was kind of a memory hog, so I went up with the 4 megabyte module. And of course, this was also where we got involved with the SCSI printing bus, you know.
Right. And, the first laser writer. Yeah, that was a
So we got
deal.
The laser writer, and I got to tell you, when I had that laser writer and was producing those, you know, those little page maker style publications that looked like, you know, hold up tickets, I was the deal.
I had a good friend, Tom Santos, who had a Mac Plus and an original laser writer and a van, and he drove around and did kind of portable desktop publishing. He'd come to your house
and just work it out.
Need a newsletter?
I got Claris Works here.
Just one of my first computer-related companies was a company called Whiplash Software, and we produced the very first clip art that ever worked with these systems.
Wow.
And it was line drawings.
yeah. Andy and Nako, come on. You can do better than a Mac Plus. What was your first Mac?
Well, now I actually have to say that my first Mac was a Mac 512KE, which I bought when the SE30 was brand new because it was all I could afford. I used to work at a legendary chain of like department stores in New England called Leechmere, in the computer department, of course. And they had this really wonderful policy of automatic markdowns because one of the successful reasons why they stayed in business before they tanked 10 years ago was that they don't like having merchandise just hanging around. So automatically, when something gets discontinued, they'll take 10% off, and then like a month later, 20% off, then 30% off. And then you could tell, like if you look in the computers, you could tell when they were starting to get desperate to get rid of it because the last two digits of the price would drop from like 97 suddenly to 77. And then when it got down to 44 cents, you knew that it was time to pounce because if you ask the manager, what if I just give you $100 for this $300 computer, will you take it? They'll just take it because at 44 cents, they are being told, just get rid of the damn thing already.
Yeah.
So, of course, the store policy said that it did have to be out. It did have to be out on display. And so I happily put it on display after disconnecting the flyback transformer so it would not power up. And, well, what do you know, 60 days later, it was still out for sale. And so I put in a $100 offer and took home my brand new beat up 512 KE. And I love the hell out of it. I was a PC user. I mean, I was a Mac lover, but a PC user by economics up to that point. But I mean, one of the reasons why I became active in the Boston Computer Society early on was because it took me two buses to get down to the BCS Mac offices in Somerville. But then I could spend 6 or 8 hours working on projects on Macintoshes. When I got home, I would have to edit my files, you know, on my little Corona PC compatible thing that I got on clearance somewhere for $300. But the first day I was able to actually do a complete, you know, go right from dinner up to my bedroom and be working on the computer until 3 a.m. without, you know, store managers or office managers saying, look, we have to turn off the lights now. We really need you to leave now. Was quite a majestic day.
A good day for all.
A good day.
My first Mac was the first Mac, the original 128K Mac. I remember looking at the Lisa, just drooling at the Lisa, but it was $10,000. And I was just a disc jockey in San Jose at the time, and I really couldn't afford it. And then, of course, January 22nd, the Super Bowl ad, why 1984 won't be like 1984. And January 24th, it comes out. Now, I really want it because it's only $2,500.
Right.
One floppy. How big was that first floppy? Was it? It wasn't very big. I remember you
400K.
400K. So yeah. You had Mac Write on it or Mac Paint. And if you wanted data, well, then you have to take the app disk out because there was no hard drive and put the data disk in. I remember lots of disk swapping in those early days.
Well, it's
1 megabyte of memory, 1 megabyte of video buffer. And I think it was 1 megabyte screen. No, it was a 3M machine.
Of memory? No, it was 128K of memory.
No, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. 128K memory. Megabyte of video RAM, and I think it was 1 megabyte of megahertz process or something like that. Anyway, it wasn't very fast, 68,000. And I finally got it February 1984. I took my Macy's charge card out and went to Macy's, and I think I paid that thing off until the 21st century. Actually, I was still paying that.
It was $9,000 after.
By the time I paid for it, it probably was.
But right, man, now, never works out.
And you couldn't do anything with that thing. But man, I was happy to have it. And I've had a Mac ever since.
Me too.
Yep. 25 years of history.
That's always been the indication of how well Apple got that first version. And in terms of communicating how important the Macintosh would be, the things that we put up with to get that thing to work. I mean, I still remember I'm at page 9. Damn it. I'm going to have to open a new document because this word processor doesn't let me do more than 9.5 pages. Yeah.
It was primitive, but you know, if you watch that video of Steve introducing it in 1984 and the Apple audience cheering to stuff that today we would just take, you know, like big deal. My phone could do a bit more than that. But in those days, that was a big deal.
I remember when I was in high school and my cousin had the Mac, the first Mac that came. His dad bought it within a couple of months after it was released. And I was taking a horse. We raised quarter horses. And so I was taking a college course with my uncle on, you know, horse production, you know, and we had a paper to write at the end. And he wrote his on a, you know, on a little word processing typewriter, you know, one of those ones that it came out all, you know, was all, and his was much more, I mean, he runs a farm, so it was very detailed. And mine had, I just went on Mac Paint. I had a nice horse and I had little like outlines and I had all this, it was that early, you know, it was 84, 85. And I got an A and my uncle got a B. He was not.
And you saw the writing on the wall.
He was not amused.
It's all about presentation.
And it was all from then on. Every single time we had any project, I was over at my cousin's house working on his Mac. Because I was like, I know I'm getting an A out of this no matter what. So,
well, happy birthday, Macintosh. It's been an amazing 25 years. Just think in 25 years, we'll be dead, but you'll still be alive, Justine.
Well, I just remember when I was younger that I only had 30-day trials of all of my software because my parents wouldn't buy it for me. They're like, I'm not buying it. What do you need that for? And so every 30 days, I would reformat my computer and back everything up on floppy disks. Let me tell you how annoying
you
that
win.
Was. I didn't know.
The
didn't
whole
know
thing on floppies. But
well, of course, grade. We had it tough at my house. We had to type in all of our code with BASIC.
Yes,
after a power outage, you have to type it all over.
Happy birthday, Macintosh. Thank you all for being here. We really appreciate it. Let's end with that famous commercial, 1984. 25 years ago, why 1984 won't be like 1984.
The first glorious anniversary of the information purification directives. You created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology, where each worker may bloom, secure from the pests of a contradictory force. Our unification of the force is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth. We are one people, with one will, one resolve, one cause. Our enemies shall talk themselves to death, and we will bury them with their own confusion. We shall.
On January 24th, Apple Computer will introduce Macintosh. And you'll see why 1984 won't be like 1984.
Another Mac break.
He's got chills.
He's broke. And for those of you in the Bay Area, I just wanted to mention that the Berkeley Macintosh Users Group is having a reunion on Thursday. They haven't met in years. It was one of the great big Mac users groups. It was so great. Every Thursday in Berkeley, they'd go over there and they'd give a hard time to every presenter. You know, the people would come from Adobe and the other companies and they'd boo them and they'd yell at them and they'd ask them tough questions. It was a feisty user group, one of the best. I miss those Thursday nights, but we're going to have another Thursday night at the Hillside Club this Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Go to my blog, and you can find a link to the upcoming invitation. You can RSVP there or RSVP on Facebook. There's a VMUG anniversary group on Facebook. And I'll be there, and we'll see you there on Thursday.